comments. If you're out there, share your comments, join us, come hear our guests talk about how long does grief last. And I'm looking forward. I have my notebook. I'm just gonna be writing down and learning so much, because grief talk, it's all about lessons learned through life and loss.
Yeah, awesome. Wow, I get to introduce our guests. So yeah, our guest is a great friend of mine. We've enjoyed life together, and so I'm so excited to introduce you to Janine Jordan, who has Rise Up Coaching and Consulting. So Janine has been a former educator for over two decades, and now she has a new role of coaching and consulting. And she's focusing on women, serving professional women. So we're so excited about Janine and my scarf's not staying. We're so excited about Janine coming and sharing with us. She's lived in Brooks since 2000, or the County of Newell since 2000. She has two adult children who she adores and a wonderful network of friends and family. So we're just excited to introduce Janine to you.
Well, thank you so much. That was absolutely wonderful introduction. Who are you talking about?
Who is that person?
Thank you, Darlene, and thank you so much, Jennifer. I appreciate being on this today, and I'm so excited to share with you, and so excited to be here. And it's just a real privilege to be with you too. Thank you.
Awesome. Before we get going, maybe just share a little bit about your Rise Up Coaching and Consulting.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yes, I will. As Darlene said, I have been an educator for all of my professional life until I decided to take a new tack and felt that the Lord was directing me to a new season, a new thing to do. And so some of you may know me as Janine Oldenberger. All of you will know me as Janine Oldenberger. And so I am now using my maiden name, new season, new changes. And I have just started a company. It's actually going to launch the middle of December. I thought it might be November, but it'll be December. And coaching and consulting will be my new thing. And so I'm very excited about this. Really looking forward to coming alongside people and helping where I can, and learning, because we're always learning. So I don't want to say too much, but the coaching is something that I'm so enjoying, and consulting. So a lot of people that I consult are teachers and leaders in business, and so yeah, just getting my feet wet, learning some new things, and just looking forward to the journey and the way the Lord's going to lead and what He'll do. And I just want to do that as well as I can. So
that's awesome. All. So exciting. Okay. So maybe we'll jump right into you sharing and sharing your wisdom with us and just your stories. So in Grief Talk, we're talking, the topic today is how long does grief last? And you know what? We know that everybody's unique. And I think one of the key points is that everybody's unique. Everybody goes through it at a different pace. But it's often helpful to hear somebody else's stories. So we're going to maybe just start with Janine, and she's just going to share about her own grief process and her timeline for some of her losses.
Right. I had never heard about a loss or a grief timeline. And I realized, after I listened to a few podcasts, I learned a little bit more, thanks to you too, that I could sit down and do that timeline as well. And so I came up with a timeline, and I do have a specific loss in my life. But I can tell you, when you get as old as I am, that you seem to have, you have different losses at different stages in your life. And so I think about childhood losses, and, moving, school, loss of friends, my grandparents passing away, pets. I know that's maybe not on the same level, but when you're young, those things can be a great loss if you lose them. And then in my early adult, hood, I had a loss of my marriage, a loss of my home, my stability. Then there was that transition to university at 32, going back and you know, being challenged in that way, losing my dream. I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom with like 8 kids, you know, like the Brady Bunch or the Waltons or something. And that didn't happen. So yeah, loss of that dream. And then the transition down to Brooke. So I was born in Edmonton, lived my whole life there. And after my marriage broke up, and after I went to university, after I had my daughter and and my son, I was catapulted into this new life of teaching, and I came down to Brooks, and there, in my role as a teacher and as a principal, I got to see a lot of loss. I got to experience a lot of loss. You know, we had the death of a student, death of a young person in our community, a young male at my very early stages of my career, colleagues, you know, the losses that they went through, friends, the losses that they went through as well. And then also there are our school. I taught and was the principal of Newell Christian School, excellent school. And I, there was affiliates with us as well. And so, you know, the colleagues, the teachers, the other principals, you know, learning about the losses that they had across, you know, across the province as well. And getting to see how people reacted in that and how they made their way through that loss. So that sort of changed. But I think the most significant, I don't know if it's significant, the most poignant loss, I think, was the loss of my mom. And that was just heart-wrenching and very difficult. And you know, we talk about the stages of grief, and I didn't even know about the stages of grief then. But when I see, you know, denial and anger and bargaining and depression and acceptance, and I guess it whatever model you use, I'm not an expert like you two are, but I know that I did. I hit all those things. My mom was diagnosed with cancer in 2007, I believe. Maybe just a little before, but she had a very short period of time before she passed away and when she was diagnosed. And so, yeah, I kind of went through all of those things. And I was a periphery sort of person in there. I think you talked about that before. And I had to travel back and forth to Brooks, and I was a single parent, and I was teaching, and you know, it was a very difficult time, because I would go up and she would have changed so much in a period of time that for me it was difficult in that way. But for the people that were left there in Edmonton, because all of my family was there and visiting and supporting and helping, you know, for them, they didn't see the changes. But I think the most heart-wrenching thing was, you know, just going and my mom had been talking to me, and it was, my mom passed away on February 23rd of 2008. And I think I went to visit. She was in palliative care at the General Hospital in Edmonton. And I went to go visit, I think it was about the 5th of February. And from the 5th until the 23rd, she, she was talking, and then 22nd, I'm sorry. She was comatose. And so by the time that I got there, I had no idea. It was a complete shock, you know, and there was that, that realization that I, for the 2 weeks, I didn't know really what happened, and nobody communicated that to me. That was a big shock to walk in, and she, you know, she can't speak, she can't move, you know, And so I was afforded just an opportunity. It was funny because there had been so much care and people had been in and coming in to see her and to talk with her. Everybody was exhausted. And so I came in and I remember it was really cold. So I had my daughter Janelle with me, and she went off with my sister and her children, and my dad decided that he would go home and get some sleep, and I was left with mom on the night that she passed away. And so I had those hours all to myself, and I had no idea that she was gonna be gone either. And so it was just it was a gift. But it was traumatic because, I fully expected everyone just to arrive in the morning and we would, carry on. But what happened was she took her final breath, and it was natural, but weird, and I know that sounds funny, but it just happened so ordinarily. I didn't know what to expect. I just kind of thought, wow. But I got a chance to pray and to sing to her and to talk to her and tell her all the things, and that was good, but it was just so ordinary. Then I thought that was very strange, and it was in a room, and it wasn't how I guess I had envisioned things happening. And so that was my story of loss and grief. And then to be found like it 15 more minutes, and I went to the head nurse. They were wonderful. And and I said, my mom passed away, and she said yes. And I was like, wow, and there wasn't anything you could really do. So yeah, it was a real shock. That would be what I call it. So, yeah.
Thank you for sharing. Thank you for You're sharing welcome. Your heart. And just that, I think, like you said, it was a gift, but it was traumatic. There's just that conflicting time, right? Where it was peaceful, yet it was horrible.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jenny, thank you so much for sharing.
You are welcome. Yeah,
and as our friends out there who are listening, I just want them to join us and grab a coffee and know that Grief Talk is all about lessons learned through life and loss. Mm-hmm. So, Janine, by you sharing, I could even tell you're getting emotional. And the question, the comment that we hear very often, people say, "I thought I was doing fine, but now I feel worse." Would you share about that? Because, as we talk about the timeline, because as you shared, there's no timeline. Sometimes we think, in 6 months, I should be fine. But no, most times people say, "I thought I was doing fine, but now I feel worse." Why does that happen? Or what's your life experience if you want to share with us?
You know what? You're absolutely right. You do. And I think that it's been akin to waves, waves that come over you. And I think people say that. For me, it's triggers. It's triggers talking about it, maybe. For the longest time, I could hear my mom's voice, right? And I could hear her. I don't know, it sounds funny, but I could really distinguish that. And then over time, that kind of faded. And I had to think about that. But I never forgot the stories or the times or the shared things. Never, you never forget that. It does get better though as you walk on. And I found that there were some things that did help me. But you're never, I don't know that you're ever done. If that makes any sense. I just don't think you ever get done. You may deal with it better, but it comes up again.
Yeah.
Go ahead, darling. That's so good.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for sharing, because that person is still a part of our life, right? Like that doesn't end with death.
Right.
I think what can work through, and as we process grief, I think sometimes the pain and those hard emotions attached to the either the trauma or something that happened, so your relationship, because often we review our relationship. As soon as somebody dies, we review our relationship, and that's actually natural. That's a normal reaction, is we go through all the things that we the fun things we remember about them, the things we wish we had said and didn't say, or the things that we wish were different. And that's a normal reaction. And again, when you go through that and process that, I think that's part of the processing. I think you're right. We never forget that person. That person's always a part of our life. But like you said, it dims. Maybe we don't hear that voice quite as much, or we kind of forget, right? Forget a little bit of those details, but that person's always with us.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. And it's the little triggers, like little things take us by surprise, and all of a sudden we feel overwhelmed. So I always think, even me sharing about my losses, like the fast Christmas, like Christmas is just around the corner, and that triggers, because we have memories of how we did Christmas while they were here, right? And so that's why Grief Talk is a place where we create this safe place where we can share. We can share even when we're upset. We can share those memories. It's a place where we can share when we feel overwhelmed. So your story, just like you, this is so timely. It'd been just before Christmas, where lots of us will be triggered. And sometimes we think we should have moved on, or family expect us not to talk about it. However, right, as Janine says, it will come, and it's a normal reaction, and we just need to acknowledge that. So I love this so much.
Good. Yeah, it was good. It's good to share, you know. Thank you for that. I appreciate that opportunity.
So one of the other things or questions that we're going to ask is, what's helped you the most? So what's helped you during your grief process?
Right. Well, I can tell you, if I can find my note, the things that helped me were prayer and family connections, colleagues, and just grand gestures. Our principal, when my mom was going to pass away, actually gave us some time off, the whole staff, so that we could go and attend the funeral. They were grand gestures. You know, there were grand gestures of people that just reached out and were kind and loving and just so supportive. And those things helped me immensely. I think for me also, when I was able, that return to work and routine helped me get back on track. And the responsibility, you know, I was a single parent, and the responsibility of having to take care of my daughter, having to go through, you know, the things that everybody does, right? And I found my inspiration, looking around at people, and I know it sounds cliche, oh well, they've got it worse than I do, but I actually did encounter people that were going through great loss, and I think, you know, I think specifically that I did look at others, and I don't know if you compare, but I have a brother who has had a returning brain tumor for 20 years, and the way that he kept forging ahead, and I know it is a loss, though. There are lots of losses that are associated with that. But his courage gave me courage. And I got courage from other people, too, that were in different kinds of situations and had gone through similar things, right? Friends that had losses and loss of parents, those sort of things. And if you can listen to some of that, that can be a big help.
Yeah, That's great how you got, right? That we can look, when we sometimes look out of ourselves, right? And we see those are people around that can encourage us and show us a way, right? Yeah. Thank you for sharing about your brother. That's
I'm very proud of him. Yeah. He's pretty cool. Yep.
Yeah, and that reminds me of another comment that we hear often. People say, "Oh, other people seem to be coping better than me, mm-hmm. right?" And that's the comparing part. And we share with our friends and family that we all grieve differently, mm-hmm. and we are all unique, and we can never grieve the same. So even though we look at others and say, we just need to give ourselves permission to grieve the way we do it. I have shared a story that we had a loss, and my family, I thought we should grieve a certain way, but they were making fun, and I got upset. And that brings conflict into family. However, when we are aware that we all grieve differently, that really helps. And and then that comment of, oh, looking at others, how come they're coping better than I am? It's because we are all unique. So thank you for bringing that out. Yeah.
You're right. I think comparison is not really the way to go. And I think that's good learning, because we do all do it differently. That's so true. Mm-hmm.
So one last question. How has your losses impact your future?
Oh, well, okay. You know, I'll tell you a little story. It's a small little story, but it kind of, if you follow along, it'll all make sense here. So I was a kindergarten teacher when I first started, and I distinctly remember that I wanted to do a class, and I had a lesson picked out, and I was going to have the kindergarten children wave banners while they march to Beethoven's Ode to Joy out in the field. Our school is a rural school, and I just thought that would just be wonderful, and I had these plans. I had this wonderful thing that was going to happen, and it was going to be marvelous because I had planned it. And so the children showed up and they were excited, and I had invited some people to look on, and it was supposed to go well. But the problem with little kindergarten children is that they all like the same color usually, and they don't like it when you don't give them the same banner. And so there was a little bit of trouble with that because somebody got a green one and all the rest were red. And then there was a little bit of trouble with the music, and there was a little bit of trouble with everybody doing everything at one time. And it turned into, it was just, you know, instead of, you know, Beethoven's beautiful Ode to Joy and this morning lovely piece of music and movement, it was more like dum 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 da da dum dum, and I was the dumb one, and my whole plans were derailed, and ruined. And I see that as loss in our lives. We are often, we got these great plans, we got this great thing, things are going this way or not, and then loss comes, and it comes and it kind of derails us, knocks us off our course. And we all deal with it, like you said, in different ways and different things. But your loss of you lose your power, your control, you're aware of your fragility, you actually experience that suffering, which can be very foreign. And you have to walk through it and realize, you know, it's your plans change. I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. I sure didn't want to be in education. To my way of looking at it, the Lord has a great kind of sense of humor. I ended up in school for decades, a lot more than I thought. And I happened to have the, you know, I got to love hundreds of kids. And so it didn't turn out quite the way. So plans change. They may not ever work out the way that you want, but sometimes good things come out of that as well. And you may go off in a new direction and be able to help somebody or learn something yourself. So, yeah.
I love that story. Like that analogy, right? It's our expectations. We so want to, we have these plans in our heads and we want to control it all. And then life happens and we, right, our course changes and it's being able to work through that and work through the losses. And our losses make us different people. They show us, right, vulnerability. Yeah. They show us it teaches us compassion, vulnerability. Mm-hmm. It teaches us that we aren't in control and that we need to just live in the present. And so it can teach us so much and direct us. So, yeah, right. Thank you for that story.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing. We have a comment from Audrey. Thank you, Audrey, for your comment. She says, my mom passed in January, and now with Christmas coming, it is bringing up some sad emotions, especially with some of the Christmas songs. Oh, Audrey, we hear you. And that's what we're talking, like the holidays are really tough. And it's good to acknowledge those emotions. Good to acknowledge those sad emotions. I just have to share a story about a family that shared with me that their grandpa loved certain cinnamon buns from a certain restaurant. And every Christmas, they go to the same restaurant and bring those cinnamon buns. So any way we can do to acknowledge those emotions, because some of us would like to talk, maybe you don't have someone to talk about. However, we encourage that you do something in remembrance, because that's another way of expressing those emotions. So thank you, Audrey, for sharing that. We'll be thinking of you. And this has been amazing, amazing, amazing. Janine, before we let you go, because we are just so thankful that you shared all the stories with us. And I'm just wondering if you could share with us, how would our audience or our friends who are listening, give them one nugget on how to cope with the Christmas that's coming.
Well, I think you really have to feel that pain, that sorrow. I really think you have to own it, to look at it, and to realize that it can or will happen, like this lady, and then feel it and I think you just need to let it be, you know, and then let it go, but be true to how you're feeling about it. I guess that would be the best way, and maybe seek a friend. Maybe you know, if you haven't been part of the you know, the grief counseling, maybe that might be something you might want to do. Yeah.
Thank you, Janine. We'll be sharing more about, we have a candlelight service coming up. We'll be sharing more details on our page. And that's another way where we can all gather light candles. And we have different meanings why we light candles. And we're excited to host that this Christmas. As Grief Talk and as a family, and you can watch it online or join us in person. However, that's the story of another day. I'll let Darlene just, yeah, I'm sure you have closing comments, Darlene.
Yeah, sorry, my phone just rang. Thank you so much for sharing, Janine.
My pleasure.
We're just so happy to have you. So if anybody wanted to connect with you, how do they get a hold of you?
you know what? I will be putting out some details on my Facebook page and on my website soon. And and everybody will be able to contact me through that.
Okay. So remember Janine Jordan, and we'll have a link and stuff we can put into the comments for you. But thank you so much for sharing. I love your last comment about being true to your feelings. And I think when we can be true to what we're feeling, when we can acknowledge it, just like you shared, and when we can share it with somebody else and release it, that's what it's about. So,
well, thank you so much, ladies. I entirely enjoyed this time together. Blessings, and have a beautiful rest of your day.
Yes, and don't forget, I love Rise Up Coaching and Consulting. We'll be talking to you soon.
Oh, thank you so much. Bless your hearts.
Have a good day.
Have a good day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.